We're back on In Focus, News Radio KMAN. Brandon Peoples and Dave Lewis chatting today with Ron Wells, Riley County Commissioner, as we do every first Tuesday of the month, or I guess second Tuesday of the month, I should say, as we continue on. We talked a little bit earlier about some of the maintenance projects going on. A lot of roads going to be worked on here due to they've either been covered in flooding. You mentioned the White Canyon Road that was recently completed.
We got all the driftwood off of it, cleaned up, and gravel on it so it is usable. Mm-hmm. And then our goal is to have the township maintain that, bring it up to that standard. So it's just things that we're working on. But meantime, we have access for them so they can get their propane in and access to health care if they need it, rural fire can get out there and the ambulance and everything. So it was necessary. Like I say, it's an expense that we hadn't counted on. Within the limits, the constraints, why we accommodated them. But like I say, we have to be careful on these additional expenses because once the budget is set for a year, then we can't exceed that budget. So
right.
And then the one thing, too, I know I see people bring up about the League of Kansas Municipalities. Raleigh County, we're a member, and the Kansas Government Journal that I get every month was, I think, a worthwhile expense of being a member because that's where I picked up on the LATRVF. That's where I picked up on that, and it's published every year. And so if we start getting our money back from the state, I think that was a very worthwhile investment in that outfit. Another expense we have, a large expense, is the Regional Juvenile Detention Center over at Junction City. We're one of the 15 county members, and we're the third biggest county, and the county that uses it the most. We're the third, Saline and Gary, of course. And so people, that's an expense that a lot of people don't see in maintaining a juvenile detention facility. And then we have Kansas Secure Care now on the other side of it. And so these are items that oftentimes were budgeted, the state took care of those. Well, now it's the county expense. And so it costs us a great deal of money, but it's very well managed, the top one in the nation. And I believe it's been in operation around 26 years or so. And so there's a lot of hidden things that people don't see where the tax dollars go. I feel in Raleigh County, you can always check with the clerk's office. You can check with the financial directors. It's all above board. It's out there. The only thing coming up, I think, that we need to look at is how are we going to handle the half-cent sales tax, because Raleigh County has handled it a little different than most. We specified the projects that it would go for on the roads while still maintaining our annual road budget. It has no bearing on the two. These projects wouldn't have been done without that half-cent sales tax. We follow it religiously, and we've done a very good job, and it'll be coming to an end. And so the question is now, if and when we go to the voters to renew that tax. But that's probably one of the most successful taxes, half-cent sales tax, in the state. And the way we operated it, by guaranteeing the voters, when you vote, this is what you're getting. We didn't go throw it in a fund someplace, and it actually went to what we said it would do.
You know, we were on the topic earlier of expenditures here, and I've had a thought here, and I wanted to kind of get your opinion on it. The Flint Hills Regional Council, I know a lot of counties are part of that. Would you say Riley County is getting their bang for their buck from being a member?
The next time that Commissioner Rodriguez is on, I'll be the best one to, attending the meetings. We kind of divide up the work, and so I'm not as up to date on that, so I couldn't really answer that.
Okay.
But Marvin would be one, and possibly Commissioner Ford.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we'll bring that up next time. anything else here that you'd like to highlight before we let you go?
Well, the next big thing, I have a person that's willing to, has a large amount of acreage out west of Manhattan with some drainage basins into Wildcat that's willing to partner with some retention ponds, probably three of them. Securing the funding is a problem right now, but people say, well, you know, this isn't going to make much difference. But I'll guarantee you, every gallon of water that doesn't go into Wildcat for 12 hours is a savings to the county in Manhattan. So that'll be, if I'm still in, that'll be one big push. The LATVRF and then the Wildcat Creek is very important to me. And you can clean it out all you want to from scenic to the bridges down there. But if you do and you increase the flow, then you're going to flood the RCPD, the Sheraton, and Briggs. It's handling all the water it can handle. So what we have to do now is hold the flow coming in, cut it down for 12 hours. Wildcat is up and down in 12 hours, but most of these detention basins were drain out over a five-day period, which is more than adequate. But that's going to be a big push, too. And if the state economy improves and everything, it's still going to require federal dollars, I'm sure.
Yeah. Well, and you've probably had conversations with flood management folks here, but maybe kind of what the outlook is here for 2020 if we have another bad year.
Oh, don't say that. I've got probably almost three-quarters of a mile of Wildcat and Little Kitten Creek on my place and a tenant that gets flooded. So we need a little relief for about 10 years. But so far, they're getting some structures out of the floodway. The city's acquired them. And that doesn't accomplish anything as far as the flooding itself. It's a move in the right direction to prevent some of the places that used to flood. I don't know. The bottom line is we still have to slow the water coming in. And I'm curious to see what they're going to do with the church out on West Anderson, if the city's going to require them to put a detention basin in, adding all the parking lot and the church roof and everything, because that's one of the reasons why we signed off on that island annexation. I felt that the city had a little better policy or plan to account for the water running off the property. So, and that's directly above Wildcat.
Yeah. We have our ancestors to blame for setting up all these cities near,
oh, absolutely,
near rivers. So we'll just blame them. How about that? They're not here to defend
themselves. Sounds good to me.
Well, Ron, we appreciate you coming out here and sharing all this information with us here. And good luck with re-election in 2020, and we'll hopefully have a good year.
Okay. Well, thank you very much, Brandon.
All right. That'll do it here for In Focus on News Radio KMAN. Be sure to tune in tomorrow. We'll have our Wednesday edition of In Focus, which will be a little more geared toward education tomorrow, as it usually is. And we'll be speaking with Pottawatomie County Schools officials and Manhattan Christian College.
All right, Brandon, thank you much. Moving up on 10 a.m. CBS News at the top of the hour. Bring us up to date on everything that's happening nationally. Lots of impeachment proceedings moving from the House to the Senate coming up. Clark Howard is next. After CBS News, the Rush Limbaugh, I believe Mark Stein is back in again today for Rush. And then we'll have Dan Patrick. And this afternoon, the game begins at 4, PowerCat game day at 5. K-State plays Texas Tech tonight. Men's basketball at Bramlage Coliseum. Coverage at 6, tip-off at 7. Go Cats! Have a great day. It's 10 a.m. at News Radio KMAN, the voice of Manhattan for 70 years.